Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kilbourne Engineering Limited's Q4 FY26 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management's opening remarks. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agarwal, Head, Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this financial results conference call on behalf of Kilbourne Engineering and SKP Securities. We have with us Mr. Ranjit Lala, Managing Director, Mr. Amritanshu Khetan, Director, Mr. Sachin Wijayakar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. K. Vijay Shankar Katta, Managing Director, ME Energy Private Limited, and Mr. Amol Munga, Whole-time Director, Munga Straight Feel Private Limited. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Ranjit Lala, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Lala.
Yeah, thank you, Navin. Good afternoon, everybody. We welcome you all to the Q4 2026 and the financial year 2026 earnings call and updates on the company and its subsidiaries. Kilbourne and its subsidiaries continue to deliver yet another consistent quarterly performance and for the year 2026. A brief of Q4 and the financial year results are as follows. Kilbourne had a top line of 134 crores for the quarter Q4, with an operating EBITDA of 25.1%. For the financial year, the top line was 448 crores, with EBITDA of 25.9%. On a consolidated basis, we achieved a top line of 189 crores and EBITDA of 22.95% for Q4, and 629 crores with EBITDA of 25.13% for the whole year. At the group level, we ended Q4 with an order backlog of 467 crores. We continue to have a strong inquiry pipeline of 4,000 crores plus at a consolidated level across various sectors. For the coming year, for the current financial year, we are targeting an order intake of around 800-1,000 crores at group level. We have set a growth target of 20%-25% on top line over last year, which would result in a revenue of around 750-800 crores. We hope to continue EBITDA margins of 20% plus. Furthermore, the expansion of the Kilbourne factory at Saravli and phase two expansion of ME Energy at Pune are both expected to be completed by end of Q2. While we have set aspirations both in terms of numbers and on completion of expansion plans, the risk due to geopolitical challenges continue, which do impact the order intake timeliness. We have witnessed a shift by a quarter in closing some of our major orders. The orders which were expected to close in Q4 last year are now expected to close in the next two to three months. However, overall, we are very positive about the overall business scenario. With this, I would hand over back to Navin. Thank you.
Shall we open the floor for questions?
Sure.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Each participant is requested to limit himself or herself to a maximum of two questions. Time permitting, we shall revert for any other questions that you may have remained unanswered. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Uzair Lari from Avakash Financial Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. So my first question is, sir, that for this financial year, if you look, our credit receivables have almost gone up by 100 crores. And if you look at a standalone basis, our revenue increased by 113 crores, and trade receivables have gone up by almost 100 crores. So which is also leading to a negative cash flow. And also, our cash flow in negative went from 9 crores to 17 crores. So going ahead, how do we see the cash flow from operations? When will the cash flow be positive?
See, this cash flow, the negative cash flow is on a result of our increase in our debtors level. Because in the last quarter, we have dispatched nearly 130 crores of actual dispatches have happened against only 50-60 crores in the previous year. So this particular debtors realizations will start coming in from June. So this will definitely bring down the reduce the debtors and increase our cash flow. But on a consolidated basis, you will see we have a positive cash flow from operations.
Okay. And the next question is related to the working capital days. So in this FY26, our working capital days went from 169 to 184 days. So what will be the trend going ahead? Will the working capital days reduce, or will it be at these levels only?
It will reduce, but not drastically. Because this time also, it is high because, as I told you, it is because of the debtors, increase in the debtors. Number of days debtors are increased because of the last moment dispatches, heavy dispatches during the last 2 months of the year. So this is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
And sir, one last question. If we talk about this quarter, past few quarters, our material cost has been increasing quarter on quarter. So any comment on that?
That depends on the type of orders, jobs we execute. So it depends on the particular equipment we are manufacturing and type of material of construction used in that. So it keeps on varying. But overall, in the mix, we try to maintain our EBITDA margins based on all the orders we are executing.
If I can add here, if you see material cost could go up also due to the steel prices now going up. But as we have mentioned in the past, normally we book our material immediately once we get the order. So you may see absolute material cost going up, but then that will also result in the prices of our product going up and thereby the turnover increasing. So as long as our overall EBITDA margins remain at the guided range of 22%-23%, we are very comfortable in the current scenario.
Just one more point to add to this, Vijay Kartha here, is that as we are moving to EPC jobs, a lot of turnover comes from site execution work like services. So that also impacts the material cost. So on a mixed basis is what you see. Overall, the effect remains the same, and we maintain the EBITDA.
Okay. Sir, going ahead in one or two quarters, will the trade receivables, will they reduce or be at the same level? If you could share some insight on that.
No, they will reduce because, as I told you, the end of the year included some large orders like the Moroccan order, which nearly 50-60 crores is receivable in the next two to three months. So once that amount is issued, this will definitely come down.
Okay. And sir, one order of our Granules India was on hold. So has it been delivered or?
Vijay, sorry to interrupt. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah. One order of our Granules India was on hold. So has it been delivered or is it still in the pipeline?
It is still at the same level, status quo.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Andrey Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. First of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question was actually with respect to these numbers. One thing which I couldn't understand was that In the last year, operating leverage does not seem to have played out. So could you just explain to me why that is so? And can we look forward to operating leverage playing out in the subsequent year? That was my first question.
Can you kindly repeat your question?
I will take that. I think you're asking about operating leverage, right?
Right, that's right. Yeah.
So operating leverage and economies of scale is already played out. The company, if you see, in the last 3-4 years has grown from a 100-200 crore revenue company now to 600 crores. Now that leverage is already playing out, and you see our employee cost as a share of total revenue coming down. You see that, you know, the growth is coming through different segments, including our subsidiaries. But also it's also to do with product mix. So there are times when you have certain jobs which are higher margin. There are times when there are certain jobs being executed which are slightly lower margin. So economies of scale has already been achieved by the company. The leverage has already been achieved, and that's why we are stable at 25% EBITDA margin. It's not that from 25% we can jump to 30 or 35%. That will not happen, because we are also building the company for the future. There's investments being made in people, in talent, in infrastructure, which is to take this company to a 1,000 crore level in 2 years' time. For example, in this year, we've taken a write-off of 2-3 crores in our operating expenses for breaking the building, the office building where our factory was, where the new bay will come up. So all these also come into expenses.
Yeah, I was just wondering as to why has tax growth not been as fast as revenue growth? That was, are there some exceptional items such as the one that you mentioned, or exceptional tax paid, etc.?
Because last year we were not on full tax. We are on full tax from this year.
Okay.
We had carry forward losses earlier.
So my second part of the question is that can we look forward to these things kind of smoothing out in the next year, and therefore operating leverage playing out more fully on the course of the next 12 months?
So what I'm trying to explain to you is that we are already enjoying operating leverage. If we are being able to maintain a 25% EBITDA margin and grow the company at a 20-25% rate this year, which is the organic part, then the Monga Strayfield acquisition brought in the inorganic part. So we have already enjoyed this operating leverage. And if the company continues to grow net of investments, we should be able to maintain a profitable growth going forward. But obviously, this will depend also on the product mix and the type of orders we receive.
Right. My second question was relating to the West Asian crisis, the Iranian crisis. Are there any implications on you from the demand side? And secondly, from the cost side and the supply chain side, could you just elaborate on what those impacts?
So regarding the order pipeline, we do have 2-3 orders, which Mr. Lala also mentioned, which were supposed to be finalized by March, but we expect that to be finalized now in the next 2-3 months. This got delayed due to the current Middle East crisis. Beyond that, in Monga Strayfield, Amol is on the line. A lot of our equipments were ready for dispatch, which could not be dispatched again due to this problem which has happened globally. That impacted our revenue a bit in Q4 for the subsidiary, which hopefully will also get mitigated by second quarter of this year. Regarding cost inflation, I think as we mentioned in the past, you will have cost inflation, whether due to the war or otherwise, with metal prices going up. And as a company, we follow the policy of booking our material as and when we book our orders. So that helps us protect our margins. Amol, if you want to highlight the impact of the West Asia crisis on our dispatches in Q4, you can just give some highlight on that.
Yeah, hello, this is Amol. Just to add to the crisis had an impact in terms of logistics mainly, where a bunch of our orders which are slated for the US were first starting with the gas availability crisis. It slowed our ability to produce the required products at the usual pace, where we had to make arrangements for alternative fuels when industrial gas was not easily available. So that had an impact on the timelines. And when we got over that and got the products ready, international shipping routes are now quite blocked, and it takes a much longer time to arrange shipping from the Mumbai seaport to other parts of the world. While business hasn't stopped, it has definitely increased the lead times for arranging containers and for organizing dispatches. So we've had situations over the last 2 to 3 months where we had to store a lot of ready goods just waiting for the logistics teams to be able to organize their dispatch. So that impact has been felt, not in terms of ability to produce, but more in ability to book the order and send it out to the customer.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sagar Shah from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon to the management. And first of all, congratulations to the entire team of Kilburn for another great set of numbers, actually. So now, sir, my first question was related to our, I wanted some outlook related to our inquiry pipeline. We have an closing order book of around 467 crores. But what is the inquiry pipeline in these kind of circumstances right now? So means we have some exposure to the Middle East. So basically, how is the... First of all, you used to disclose on the investor presentation that you have around 3,000 crores worth of inquiry pipeline, 4,000 crores worth of inquiry pipeline. So I wanted to understand what is the inquiry pipeline and how is the demand outlook, and then have some data keeping questions.
Right. So we still have a good inquiry pipeline for around 4,000 odd crores, and it is quite diversified. Like we have inquiries from the fertilizer vertical, some from the nuclear, then sludge processing, petrochemicals, offshore gas, vapor recovery units. So we have a very diversified pipeline. As I mentioned, you know, we are targeting an order intake of around 800 to 1,000 crores in the current financial year. And I would expect that the way discussions are on with the customers, by end of quarter two, we should have, you know, closed at least half of these orders. Let's say 450 to 500 crores. So that's what keeps us confident. We also have a few inquiries from abroad, a couple of them from the Middle East and some from the Far East. We are just waiting for the, you know, the right time to arrive and when we can close them.
Okay. Sure, sir. What
Ranjit mentioned was a lot to do with Kilburn. If you look at our subsidiaries, ME Energy is seeing a lot of strong inquiries from the ferrous alloy sector and the steel sector. And right, in Munga Stayfield, we are seeing inquiries coming in from defrosting as well as textiles and food processing. So we are catering to a multi-facet, industries. So as and when these inquiries fructify, it should add to the order book. And for ME Energy, the other critical sector is cement, which is what they are working on. So hopefully, you know, inquiries are trickling in the cement space as well. So as they get more established in the sector, the inquiry pipeline automatically gets increased.
Okay. Fine, sir. So basically related to that question, if we split your existing capacities right from Kilburn on Saravali plant, then your Ambernath plant, and then your ME Energy phase 1, phase 2, the capex is yet to commence, and Monga Strayfield. So individually, can you sum up that if we clock around 800 to 1,000 crores of revenue that we are targeting, so can we, without even any capex requirements, are we in a position to clock revenues with these existing capacities, sir?
Sir, we have already announced certain capex program which is under implementation. We believe this will be completed by September, October of this year. With that CapEx program being completed, our capacities will be adequate to cater to the growth which the company has planned by FY28.
Okay. Okay, fine, sir. So now, this time, sir, you haven't my, now my, a few set of questions were related to data keeping questions. This time you haven't disclosed the order inflow. I wanted individually based on Kilburn, Monga and ME Energy actually. You have an order inflow of around
We are not giving that breakup because we have mentioned in the past as well that there are many orders which get booked in Monga, in ME Energy or Kilburn, but the plants of each companies are being utilized. So we are giving a consolidated order booking. We don't want to encourage a breakup of the order book.
Okay.
Because
okay.
treat it Fine. Like, you have to treat these 100% subsidiaries like individual factories as well. There are times when if Monga Strafi, if ME Energy gets an order but Kilburn needs to execute it in the Ambernath plant, we will do that.
Thank you. Sagar, sorry to interrupt. I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Sangeeta Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Thank you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to check about your growth guidance. You know, obviously there was a very strong growth in 26 because there was also inorganic growth included. But when I'm looking at your own slide, in, you know, number 32, you've guided for 25% to 30% from FY27 onwards. And I remember from the previous discussions also that the guidance was in the range of 25 to 30, which you have now lowered to 20 to 25. So is there any specific reason why you've turned a little cautious on the growth? That's one. The second question I have is that in terms of whatever warrant conversions, etc. were there, how much more dilution is remaining to be done? You know, is there more warrant conversion which will happen in 27?
So, Sangeeta, we have always maintained a 20 to 25% growth strategy going forward for the next 2 years. And with that, our aim is to reach 1,000 crores by FY28. We have sticked to that guidance. We have not changed that guidance in the current quarter, firstly. Second, the point you mentioned about warrant conversion, all warrant conversions have happened. So there's no further dilution expected. All the fundraise has happened. The money is coming to the company and it's being utilized for growth prospects of the company. So there's no more dilution.
Okay. So, you know, if you look at your slide 32, you know, in the same presentation, the investor presentation, you've given CAGR, you've written there CAGR of 25 to 30%.
This is our presentation which has just been uploaded today?
Yes.
I think it's a typo error by the IR team who's made it. Our guidance is 20 to 25, which is also there in our press release, which was released yesterday. This is a typo error.
Okay. All right. And, you know, I know that you've been guiding that margins will be 20% plus. Now, that's a little worrying when we're currently looking at margins of 25%, right, EBITDA margin. And because if you grow by 20 to 25% and your margin slips to 20, then we're really looking at no growth.
Sangeeta, again, we are not guiding for 20%. We are saying 20% plus. We have also mentioned we are looking at maintaining margins of 22-23% in all our commentary. It is not possible for us to predict whether we will be at 25 or 23 because you'll appreciate that for any engineering company enjoying 20% plus, when I say 20% plus, you look at it from 20 to 25%, this range, it is a very high margin which the company is being able to deliver. We want to keep that buffer that, you know, we are guiding 20% plus, but we've also mentioned that we are looking at maintaining our margins which are there today, which is the 22-23%. And what happens is quarter on quarter, you will have variances. Like, for example, the current quarter, we've had very high turnover and we've had a margin of 22-23%. So we can be questioned by you all that, you know, why is it that the economies of scale is not showing? But in the same quarter, we have high costs which have come in, like the freight cost of dispatches for our large Moroccan order came in quarter four. So again, for a project-led business where our execution happens over 6 months to 12 months, it is not strategically fair to, you know, compare one quarter margin or the second quarter margin, but look at an annualized trend, because you will have some variances which will happen quarter on quarter.
Okay. Then if we look at, you know, if I'm looking below the EBITDA margin, has the depreciation now, is it going to peak out at about, one, you know, it's a 116 for this, 16.6 for this year?
I mean, your depreciation is 14-15 crores. It may go up by another few crores as our new CapEx plans are done, but not very significant.
Okay. And in this cost also should get more, you should move what? Are you expected to move in line with turnover, or it should go less than turnover?
The finance cost, I would think, should remain stable, because if you are able to grow the business by another 150-200 crores and keep finance costs similar, then automatically you're actually improving your overall working capital.
Right. So the, for finance costs to remain stable in a growing top line scenario means you will try to bring your working capital days down.
Correct. Which Mr. Sachin mentioned earlier in the call, that we have large dispatches which have happened. So the payment of those dispatches should come in between June and September.
Right. No, I meant more like the average working capital through the year. You know, I'm not talking of peak working capital.
So average working capital, if you see, is actually not very high. Now, if you compare us to last year, our interest costs have remained more or less similar, but the turnover has grown 50%.
Correct.
The cash flow is better from that point of view. It is only when you look at September and March. But part of that has only gone into working capital. Most of it went into payment for Monga's trade field.
Okay. So that means that, you know, your, see, if we start looking at below the EBITDA, you could see higher growth of PBT as compared to EBITDA, because your depreciation should not grow at 20-25%.
You're right in that.
Not 20-25%.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And the other point, just to for the larger community hearing the call, a lot of our other income is actually operating other income, which does get discounted by investors, because all our export orders have exchange gain also, which comes in, and that comes in other income, but it's actually operating income. So you have to take the operating income, the other income, as part of the EBITDA. Like about 80% of it is part of the EBITDA.
All right. Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Bhavya Nahar from Tamohara Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Wanted to ask, when do we expect the execution of the nuclear orders? Any visibility out there?
We have two orders which are, you know, related to that vertical, and typically these orders move quite slow. That's a fact. So currently I expect them that it would take another year plus for the complete execution.
Okay. And so do we think that our current order book is sufficient hence for like growth in the coming quarters, or are we sure?
As we mentioned in our press release also, we have an opening order book, plus we are expecting a lot of orders to get concluded in the next 2-3 months. So with that, we are confident of achieving the guided figures which we have indicated.
Okay. And on ME Energy, how far are we on getting orders for the waste heat recovery systems in the cement sector? Like, is it something which is already like happening, discussions are ongoing, or not reached that stage yet?
So on ME Energy, Mr. Karta can highlight, we are not focused only on the cement sector. We are looking at large orders for waste heat recovery boiler systems in steel, in ferrous alloy. Cement is a sector where our breakthrough has been more for the hot air gas generators, where we've got repeat orders. We've got our first inquiry for waste heat recovery boiler system in cement, but that is still very early stage. But our success, I believe, will be more in the ferrous alloy and steel sectors, where also there is a very large requirement of these systems. Vijay, if you can expand on it, please.
Yeah, as Amrudhanshu just mentioned, we have our sight very clearly on moving into getting orders on waste heat recovery based power plants for cement plant. So we have an inquiry, but it is very early stage, first inquiry is on and the second is just around the corner. So, and as you know, these project finalization will take time. And we have already moved into cement industry with hot air generators with non-conventional fuels, and very successfully, and there are inquiries going. And parallelly, there is a huge growth on the ferroalloy and steel industry. As you know, we already are executing two large value orders, and we expect to add a couple of other sooner than later, I mean probably in the this or next quarter, and I think more success and more business will come from parallel, at least for this financial year, from parallel sector and steel sector than the
we are losing your audio.
Hello,
can you hear me now? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I mentioned that, for this early part of this financial year, maybe first 8-9 months, we'll have more larger value orders from ferroalloy industries or steel industry rather than cement industry, and cement industry success will be towards end of the year or maybe next year.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Devyam Surekha from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team, and thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the competitive landscape for our equipment supplying to nuclear power plants. So how is the same shaping up, and how many approved vendors are there where NPCI or Ashwini, and how much time did it take for us to attain these qualification and approvals?
So typically we face competition from Lloyd's Engineering, so one of the major competitors. Yeah. How long it takes for the approval of the whole process? Kilburn has supplied, you know, components and systems in the past for the nuclear business. So we were already qualified and we didn't have to, you know, go through this qualification again as such. In terms of landscape, definitely there are opportunities coming up. But, you know, what is visible to us is another 2 or 3 projects. Okay. One is in Kaiga, and the other one, there are two projects and on which we are working very closely. Of course, we are not directly bidding, it is through an EPC company.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And sir, in a typical 800 megawatt nuclear project, what is the rupee amount of a product supply?
I would not know.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naitik Mohta from Sequin Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions, and pardon me if my question might be repetitive. One, why has our gross margins declined in quarter four? And is it due to product mix or is it due to increasing input cost? And my second question would be that given our revenue target of almost 800 crores for FY27, our opening order book seems quite tepid. So our products are quite complicated and we have a long gestation period. So are we still confident that we can achieve this kind of top line in FY27?
So let me answer the second question first. Well, we have to set target for ourselves, and we have always set high aspirations. Let me put it that way. In the past also, I think when we have spoken about these numbers, whether we are growing at 30%, 35%, 50% or so, I think by and large we have been able to reach those numbers. And to achieve this target of 750 to 800 crores, the growth that we are talking about of 20 to 25% CAGR, we are working on the order intake. I do agree with you that today the opening order is on the lower side compared to last year. But as I said, some of the orders have got delayed by a quarter. Once they are in place, we should be able to achieve. In case there's any deviation on same, I'm sure by next quarter we will revert back. Yeah.
Just to add, we are guiding for a range of 20 to 25%. So that gives us a range of 750 to 800 crores for the current fiscal. We have already indicated that we expect the second half of the year to carry a lot more of the weight of execution, assuming that a lot of orders will be finalized in the next 30 to 60 days.
Fair, yes, sir. That's helpful. And on my first question?
As regards gross margin, is definitely, as Mr. Tanshi also earlier said, it depends on product mix. Also, the type of order we are executing. Now, this quarter, orders which were executed had a higher component of subcontract charges. Outside subcontract was involved. So, that is the reason. So, it depends on order to order and type of equipment we are manufacturing.
Right. But for a full year perspective, 22 to 23 margins is something that is sustainable for us, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Sorry, I lost you. Can you kindly repeat your question?
Sir, the participant is done with the question.
What is that? Okay.
Next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead. Sorry, sir, your voice is breaking.
Oh dear. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. I just wanted to get a sense, beyond the next 1 year or 2 years for which you've given a guidance, how does company and how does the management think about the company in, let's say, 4 to 5 years' time in terms of size or complexity, in terms of contribution from domestic and international markets? Just wanted to see how you think about the company in 4 or 5 years' time in terms of size and in terms of complexity of the work that you do, or in terms of the international to the domestic mix, or in terms of exposure to different sectors.
So if I can take that question, Ranjit. Kilburn 4 years ago was a 100 crore revenue company, making 10 crores of EBITDA. From there, we have scaled up to 650 odd crores this year with an EBITDA of 160 crores. The EBITDA of 160 crores is higher than what the revenue of this company was 4 years ago. So we do not believe in looking at 5-year plans and 10-year plans and, you know, working on those kind of aspirational numbers, because I think you can limit yourself in growth sitting where you are today. As a strategy, we are very focused on achieving a roadmap goal for the next 2 years. We believe if we are able to achieve what we set out for the next 2 years, a lot of opportunity would come with the scale of the company increasing, the market cap increasing, cash flow increasing. There can be opportunities to grow the company more rapidly. So it's more prudent for us to focus over next 2 years and then see where we can take the company from there.
Understood. No, thank you very much. Thank you. Do you see the sectors that you are exposed to changing or the domestic to international mix changing very significantly?
We believe exports will play a critical role going into the future, and we think 30%-40% of our revenue can come from exports.
Got it. And one last question, if I may. In terms of exports, when you say, are there any particular markets that you would be more excited about?
It is spread across continents. I think there's business opportunities which are there in the U.S., in Europe, in Far East, Korea,
Africa.
Africa. So, I mean, we are not bound by any one particular geography.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Divyansh Thakkar from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead. Divyansh, may I request you to unmute your line and proceed with your question? Due to no response.
Sir, it's Divyansh Thakkar. I might have written my name wrong, but my question has already been answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Rabindra Nair from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. What is that?
Rabindra, can you speak a little louder, please?
Rabindra, sorry, can you speak through the handset, please?
Oh, can you speak a little louder?
Clear, sir? Is it clear, sir? Is it clear?
No, sir, it's still sounding feeble.
Is it clear?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions regarding, you mentioned that we have missed some orders in 2026 and Q4. Can you please quantify that order? What is the order we have missed?
We've not missed orders. We have just mentioned that certain orders getting finalized have got shifted into Q1 of this year and Q2. We expect things to get finalized in the next 2-3 months.
Can you please quantify that order? I'm just asking that.
As we mentioned, we are looking at booking between 500 crore-600 crore of orders by September. So part of this would have come in before March. It's now going to come in the current financial year.
Okay, fine. So whether we face any delay because the order finalization, execution delay was there because in FY26 and Q4 of this year?
We've had some dispatch-related delays in Monga's Tray Field, which was mentioned earlier in the call.
Okay.
Due to logistics of the Middle East war.
Okay. And sir, the working capital actually increased substantially in this year. So can you please tell me, give some color on this, how the sectors we faced in a delay in payments in FY26? So that, and how do you expect these sectors to be in FY27?
So working capital, if you see, our interest cost has remained more or less stable. So our absolute borrowing has actually been stable. There have been dispatches which have happened, as we've mentioned, in this quarter. The money will be realized from the customers in the next 3-4 months. So we believe that the working capital cycle will again normalize as collections come in.
And that's the payment terms. There is no delay as such.
Okay. No, I'm just, sir, getting some color. Which are the sectors you actually were facing some sort of stress in terms of payments? That is what my whole question.
We are not facing any stress for any sector. Most of our dealings are with the private sector. We are not facing any payment delays from them.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that you are expecting 800 crores of order inflow in this year. Can you please give us any color on the sector-wise breakup and also if the subsidiary-wise breakup you can give, then that would be helpful.
Sir, we cannot give such detailed breakup. It is a dynamic industry where we are serving over 10-12 industries. We have 4,000 crore pipeline. Depends on which orders materialize, we believe we should be able to book 800 to 1,000 crores of orders. The main sectors everyone knows is nuclear, steel, oil and gas, petrochem. So it's a range of fertilizer. So they are all of them. There's not one sector.
Okay. Now, which sector? We're a little bit, positive upon in terms of growth this year. So that's why I'm asking.
As we mentioned, we are positive on multiple sectors. I think the only sector where we are seeing relatively low capex is soda ash, which is one out of our 14-15 sectors we are catering to.
Okay. Lastly, the capex for this year?
It remains the same, what we've been guiding for in the last 2-3 calls, which is around 40-odd crores.
Okay. It is largely across the subsidiaries and standalone entity. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sagar Shah from Spark Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir. Thank you, sir, for again for the follow-up. Now, sir, my first suggestion to you, sir, will be that you please disclose your investor presentation little early so that we can have a glance through in little more detail. Actually, it was just disclosed 10 minutes before the call, actually. So that is my first suggestion to you. Now, my overall, I have around 2 questions, actually. Now, you already alluded to the change in the EBITDA margins. Actually, that was just, I can see this is just because of the gross margin, actually. That is why EBITDA margins looked diluted in this quarter. But for the overall picture, when we see overall in FY27 and FY28, something like as the steel prices have normalized now, do we see the EBITDA margins again clawing back to around 23-25, considering we have such a healthy order pipeline, considering the you have an easy pass-through of the cost also? That is my first question.
Again, I have raised it earlier in the call. Please add the other income into the EBITDA margins because a large part of the other income is operating in nature. Because we've had large export orders, we've gained foreign currency in those orders, which actually is part of revenue. If you see our margins, even in this quarter, has been relatively stable at about 23-odd%.
Right.
And if you take it at a consolidated level also, you are looking at the full year being 25%.
One more point which I want to add is you mentioned about pass-through in the cost. Our costs are not pass-through. Okay. We mitigate all the risks by placing orders on time, and there can be some surprises from time to time, which we have also said in the past, which may impact the bottom lines at times. Okay, so we don't have a pass through. And on the EBITDA margins, we have always said that yes, particularly I have been saying it's 20 plus because I have been extra cautious. Normally, we are targeting 20-23%, but expecting that every year we would be in the range of 25% or something, I think that may not be possible. But be assured that we are always working on maximizing the bottom lines.
Yes, certainly, sir. And these EBITDA margins that you're clocking are one of the best in the industry by no means, actually. And But my second question, when you are guiding for a 750 to 800 crore of order intake for this year, that
order intake is 800 to 1,000 crores, I said.
Okay. So 800 to 1,000 crores for the year.
That's right.
So when we talk of such healthy order intake, so actually, you already guided that which sectors actually are you targeting? But what kind of product profile actually that that we are getting orders for? That you can say you can highlight. Is it for rotary dryers?
That I can highlight. So we are talking about, you know, the fertilizer vertical where, you know, we need a lot of rotary dryers. Then we talk about offshore gas vapor recovery units. They are skids for vapor recovery from the raw gas. Then we talk about petrochemicals. We talk about the VFBDs and the FBDs. And then we talk about sludge processing. We're talking about paddle dryers. So each of these verticals has a requirement for different kind of dryers or a combination of these. Apart from this, we also supply the balance of plant, you know, which go with these dryers. So it's a mix. Yeah.
And then you have the waste heat recovery systems for any energy, which is
ferrous
alloy.
Yeah.
In the ferrous alloy space as well as the steel space. And then you have the hot air gas generators for cement, which ME Energy provides.
Yeah.
And then you have the RF dryers and sheet metal fabrication for Monga.
From the Monga Sprayfield family. Yeah. And in the past also, the Monga Sprayfield products were more entrenched into textiles. And now we have really worked on getting inquiries from defrosting, from pulses, from many other, you know, verticals. We have been developing products. So that's an ongoing process.
Okay. And is it safe to assume, sir, that in FY28, post the capex that we'll be doing, the when it will be commissioned in Q2 and Q3 FY27, we'll have even larger capacity to take orders in case of ME as well as Kilburn, and we can expect even a more order intake actually in FY28. Is it safe to assume?
Well, I think order intake and execution are two different aspects of business. With the current expansion, we will definitely be able to do 800 crores comfortably, with both these expansions. On the order intake side, there are many other factors, like you saw a little bit of delay in order intake because of the geopolitical situation. I think we should keep these two things separately. If you talk about an ideal situation, yes, you would like to take in orders of 1,000 crores and execute the same thing in 1 year.
Okay. Fine, sir.
There are many dynamics which are in place, and we have to respect all those dynamics.
Yeah, sure, sir. I'll maybe connect you post the results. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhirendra Patro from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to clear on the margin front. So the EBITDA margin guidance that you are guiding for FY27 would be 22% to 23%. This is including the other income side?
That's yes.
That will be all from my end.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prajay from Wealthia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
sir, go ahead.
Yeah, so actually I had a confusion with regards to the order which was not being executed or rather it was being delayed. So is my understanding correct that there are around 2-3 orders that were supposed to be executed on Q4, but now it has been delayed to Q1?
Are you referring to the granules order?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're talking about the order intake. Sorry, I mean, can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, what I'm trying to say that because of the current Iran issue, in the call itself, you said that there was some delay in the order execution or rather...
There was a delay in the order intake.
No, there was a delay in order intake at overall level. And there has been some execution delay in one of our subsidiaries, which is Monga Strayfield. That will get evened out by the first half of this year. We expect that to be evened out by first half of this year.
Okay. One thing I just wanted to understand, I'm sorry, it's a very basic question, but what I'm trying to understand is that Moonga Shade Seeds business is not so much similar to Emmy and Kilburn, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Moonga Shade Seeds business is similar to Kilburn from the point of view that the product they make is for drying solutions, though the type of product they make is very different to what Kilburn makes.
Okay. So per se, is it possible to give Moonga's order book?
We do not disclose separate order books, but typically Moonga Shade Seeds has a short order cycle where they normally deliver in three months' time their equipment. So it's more like a running business.
I think that's one of two questions that I had. Like, most of my questions have already been answered. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from Aionios Alpha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I'm just, if you can share the average ticket size of orders that you're expecting when you're guiding for 800 to 1,000 crores of order inflows in FY27.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Yeah.
And I'll answer that. Yeah, please. I will exclude the tea dryers, which are typically in the range of 40 to 50 lakhs. I'll exclude them. But anything between, 2 to 5 crores for the smaller machines, we have some inquiries for around 40 odd crores and even a project of 100 plus crores. So that's the kind of range.
And in any energy, we are even quoting for jobs which are over 300 crores.
Got it. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Rabindra Nair from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Regarding Moonga Shade Seeds, is it possible to give a bifurcation? What is the revenue from the sheet metal and RF dryer side?
Amol, can you take that?
We do not generally give a breakup of our subsidiary revenue, but if you take from a range point of view, RF dryers would be about 50%, sheet metal would be 50%.
Okay. Thank you.
That's 50% between the two verticals, but the details are as per the company policy.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Lala for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, thanks to all of you for participating in this call. Yeah, I would like to just summarize that, many of you have some concerns, I understand. That's what I could guess from this call. Well, geopolitical situations will always pose some kind of a risk, but I can assure you that we are very much on top of it. We are trying to, work on closing as many orders as possible. And overall, as a team, we are very positive. I'm sure as and when there are some developments or any changes happening, we will keep all of you posted. And I look forward to, getting in touch with all of you in the next quarter. Meanwhile, all of you are also requested or, welcome to visit our factory and meet us one-on-one, and we can take questions. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.